The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2...
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Q.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and we are hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, east and west of that Mississippi. You are listening to the best moderate, liberal, pop culture,
current events,
current affairs show that exists on the radio as well as on the interwebs worldwide at theqnow.com and weekly on 1380vx.com as well as 1420wi. And I am your esteemed host, Mark Bland, and I am joined, as I always am, every single week by two wonderful gentlemen, one Mr. Dan Walsh.
Hello, everyone.
There he is, Dan Walsh, and producer Bobby.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing today?
And we have got a huge show for you. There's been a ton of talk about Israel and Palestine the past few weeks, but you know what's, you don't, but do you really know what's going on? Let's be honest. Do you really know what's going on? We're going to talk to Josh Rubner with the, he's a special individual who knows a lot about the Gaza Strip, and we're going to discuss that with him in just a few seconds here. Squatting is a huge problem, and now it's easier than ever, and a new social media thing is becoming an issue, and it's stupid. We're going to discuss that, and I am going to go in hardcore because this week I cannot believe what those stupid conservatives did to the president of the United States. I'm sorry, I have to say it, but without any further ado, let's get into this talk. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the phone line right here on the queue, Josh Rubner. What's up, Josh? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us. And you are the policy director for U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. That is a mouthload to say right there.
It is. We are a nationwide coalition of more than 400 organizations working to change U.S. policy toward Israel and the Palestinians to support human rights, international law, and equality. And our local group in St. Louis is the St. Louis Palestine Solidarity Coalition.
Oh, I had no idea that there was an association here that we could have contacted on a local. But I appreciate you being the one to jump on with us, because having a person of your knowledge and your background is going to be extremely. Let's be honest, Josh. You have Facebook, right? You got Facebook?
Yes.
And we all know that how many? Think about it. How many stupid things are just said in your newsfeed every day? How many?
Oh.
Countless, countless stupid things.
None. Everything in my Facebook feed is completely factual.
Absolutely factual. 100%. Especially when it's the ONN network, right?
Absolutely. Those ONN videos, is very reliable.
Onion News Network is always the best. Let's be honest. Well, the reason I brought you on is because one of the biggest problems I've been having with social media and doing a political talk show to the extent that it is. I mean, we're kind of like a mixture of Howard Stern meets The Daily Show. But at the same point, doing a show that tends to influence voters and things like that, I know that a lot of the people that listen to the show, as well as that are out there that listen on the internet and try to act like they don't know who the show is and this, that, and the other, they like to post stupid things. And one of the big hot-button issues over the last few months specifically, obviously this has been going on decades and decades and decades, but over the last few months has been this whole Gaza Strip situation with Israel and Palestine and Hamas. And what'll happen in most cases, and even Jon Stewart, if I remember a few weeks ago, did a really funny bit where, like, he started to bring it up on a show, and all of a sudden, like, 30 popping heads jumped up around him and just started screaming at him that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he does know what he's talking about, and here's who you need to... And, like, I think that it's hilarious here in the United States where probably 99%+ of the society here has never even been to the Middle East or has even done the amount of research necessary to understand what's going on over there with Israel and Palestine. They love to get on the internets. They love to get on the phone lines to all these different conservative talk shows and liberal talk shows and everywhere else, and they love to just pontificate and throw their stupid opinions out there, and they really have no basis in understanding of why they are where they're at and what this has led to. So I want to kind of get a clear understanding of this, and I think that you, Josh, would be a perfect person to kind of get us through this, you know, try to help us along and figure out what's the history of this whole situation as best as you can explain it to the people out there.
Well, really, to understand what's taking place in the Gaza Strip today, you have to turn the clock all the way back to 1948 when Israel was established. Now, at the time that Israel was established, Jews owned 7% of the land of historic Palestine. Palestinians resided on 93% of this land. And the demographic balance between these two communities was roughly two-thirds indigenous Palestinian Muslim and Christians and one-third Jewish. Now, the United Nations decided against the wishes of the majority of the inhabitants of Palestine to partition this land into two states.
And is this
Jewish
on...
state,
I'm sorry, I was going to ask a quick question. Is this on the heels of World War II and the treatment
yeah, exactly.
of Jews and the treatment of Jews because of World War II? And so, like, they felt that they needed to give them some reparations to an extent?
Well, to an extent, I think you're correct that Palestinians are being forced to pay for the sins of anti-Semitism in Europe, culminating in the Holocaust. It's an open question as to whether Israel would have been established in this fashion were it not for the horrific nature of the Holocaust and the sympathy that engendered for the Jewish people. But when the United Nations decided to partition Palestine into two states against the wishes of the majority of its indigenous inhabitants, they said 55% should go for a Jewish state, 45% for an Arab state. Now, in the process of establishing this Jewish state, which became known as Israel, Israel conquered not 55% of the historic land of Palestine, but more than three quarters.
So they kind of went in there with the guise of that they're supposed to have rights to a certain amount of land, and as opposed to like there being a legitimate partitioning where they had through proper channels and the right amount of people to say, okay, we're going to divide this up equally, like a grouping of individuals. They just kind of went in there and started going, well, this is going to be a part of that 55, and this is going to be a part of that 55, and so is that.
Well, not only was the partition plan devised by the UN not implemented, but in the process of gaining this control of 78% of historic Palestine, what came to be known as Israel, Israel engaged in a very deliberate, very systematic campaign of ethnic cleansing against the indigenous Palestinian inhabitants. The dirty secret about the state of Israel today is that it has a majority of its citizens who are Jewish for one reason and one reason only, and that's because 90% of indigenous Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from their homes in 1948, and Israel has refused to allow these refugees their internationally guaranteed right of return, which brings us to the situation in Gaza today, because 1.8 million Palestinians reside in the Gaza Strip today. 80% of those people are refugees from this 1948 war and this act of ethnic cleansing. And in many cases, these Palestinian refugees are living only miles away from the villages from which they were ethnically cleansed by Israel and not allowed to return.
So we have a situation where basically Israel kind of there was obviously some Israelis that lived on that land. We agree with that. You said, I think, 7%, right? And then we have 93% were Palestinian. And Palestinian, like I said, we're going to play this almost like we're all like in kindergarten. So we're trying to explain it to the layperson out there. Your Palestinians tend to be more Arab, right? That's their religious background is Muslim.
Well, Arab is an ethnicity.
Well, yes, I'm sorry.
And Palestinians are a nationality belonging to the Arab ethnicity. Now, Palestinians can be Muslim or Christian.
Okay, so you have Muslims and Christians on one side, and that's what the stronghold for Palestine is. And then on Israel's side, that's mostly people of Jewish religious descent.
Well, if we're talking about the population of Israel today, roughly 80% of the population is Jewish, and 20% are Palestinians, Muslim and Christian. These are the people and the descendants of people who were not ethnically cleansed from their homes by Israel in 1948, and who remained and eventually gained Israeli citizenship. But they're treated as second-class citizens at best today.
Now, with this being stated, obviously there were some world powers that were involved back there in 1948, obviously associated with the UN, that were making some of these decisions. Who are some of the world powers that were playing the game at that time that are possibly, maybe you could lay some blame towards the decisions that they made or their allegiances with certain individuals or groups?
Well, the United States played the crucial role in pushing through this partition plan of Palestine in 1947. And were it not for what was very heavy-handed arm twisting by the United States to get countries to vote in favor of partitioning Palestine against the wishes of the majority of its inhabitants, I don't think it would have happened. So I think we can definitely credit or debit, as you see fit, the United States for bringing this resolution to fruition and enabling the establishment of Israel.
Now, what about some of the countries over there, like Britain or some of the European countries like France or Spain or even closer down towards like Czechoslovakia, if you get towards Turkey or where Turkey was, all that? Like, what about some of their influences on this?
Right. So for four centuries before World War One, what was known as the Ottoman Empire, which the remnants of our today's modern Turkey, ruled the Middle East. And in the aftermath of the defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War One, Britain and France carved up what we call the Middle East today and established what they called mandates over these territories with the express intent of preparing the indigenous inhabitants for self-determination and independence. So France got the mandate for Lebanon, for Syria. Britain got it for Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine. But Palestine was always different because instead of working with the indigenous Palestinian population to prepare them for freedom and independence, what Britain had done was made promises to the Zionist movement before they got this mandate that they would work to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine instead. And that's what they did for nearly three decades before they turned this over to the UN.
Do you think because of the allied nature of the United States with Israel, they feel like they got the big brother on the block, which allows them to play the bully card? Or do you feel that it's a bully move? Like, where do you stand personally on the situation today?
Well, I would stated even more strongly than that, were it not for the virtually unconditional military, political, diplomatic support that the United States provides to Israel, there's simply no way that Israel could get away with the massacres that it's committing in the Gaza Strip today and get away with these blatant war crimes that they're committing by deliberately targeting homes and UN shelters and schools and hospitals and the like. It's only because of our veto power in the United Nations that Israel is not held to account for these actions.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now, why? This is producer Bobby, by the way. Why would some people, when they look at this war in Palestine and Israel, they look at it, you know, sometimes as, you know, just two people, you know, like scrapping over a bone, okay? How is this different than what the U.S. did in Iraq and Afghanistan for people who don't understand? You know, this war has been going on for a long time, so
hundreds of years.
Some people still, you know, they really don't understand this. So how is it different from, you know, what we did in these countries?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are certainly aspects of the U.S. wars on Iraq and on Afghanistan which look very similar to the tactics and strategies that Israel employs in its occupation of Palestinian territory. So, for example, some of the demolition of homes that we saw take place in Iraq is a central feature of Israel's occupation policies toward the Palestinian people. And some of the same military techniques and weapons which are developed by Israel actually then make their way onto the U.S. battlefield. So, for example, drones is the most prominent example of an Israeli military technology that was first developed there and put into the service of the Israeli military and then copied by the United States. But in other respects, these are very, very different situations. And to call the situation between Israel and the Palestinians a war or a conflict, I think, is misleading because it implies that there are two parties with two sovereign states and two armies and some relative equality between them. But that's not at all the situation that obtains between the two. Israel is a sovereign nation, has weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, and has the most powerful army in the entire region. And what they are doing is using this military power to continue a process of dispossession and ethnic cleansing and military occupation. And when we talk about the Gaza Strip, we have to talk about illegal blockade as well against a largely defenseless population without an army, without a navy, without any anti-missile systems to shield them from the deadly arsenal that rains down on them thanks to the U.S. taxpayers. So this is not at all a traditional type of conflict between two sovereign nations.
So then how is this still, based upon what you just said, how is this conflict, I guess would be the way to put it, you said not to do that, but how is this still continuing if, the Palestinians don't have any defenses against, the
large... it's religion. But it's the religion. There's a religious aspect to this, even though on the front end, right, Josh, what you've stated has really more to do with people just getting pushed out of their lands against their will and these guys not playing nice with them whatsoever. On the backside of this, there has to be somewhat of a religious backing to this, right?
I mean, there definitely is a religious component to this issue, but at its heart, this is not a clash of religions. There's no inherent antagonism between Islam and Judaism. And I think, in fact, there's a lot more similarities between Islam and Judaism than there is to either religion having similarities with Christianity. During the Ottoman Empire, these four centuries of Ottoman rule preceding the British mandate over Palestine, the reality was that Christians and Muslims and Jews lived together as relative equals and in relative harmony within the historic land of Palestine. And there's no reason why that can't be the case in the future as well.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you that's very serious to me is how... I want to word this properly. With the aspects of the historical value of that region, like where does Palestine? Okay, let me try to go this route. Okay, and at one point in history, you had Caesar, who did very similar things, where they would go into areas they weren't supposed to be in, they would push the people out, they would put them into things like this, and we look back in a relatively non-caring way, I would say is the best way to say it, this is just a part of history. Why is this any different, in your opinion, than any of those moments in history where people just came into a place, took over land, and that's just how it went down in history?
I'm not sure that it's fundamentally different. I mean, there have been many, many examples of that type of conquest and colonization throughout the centuries. Fortunately, I think humanity has evolved to the point where we have a fairly well-developed sense of international law. And we have things like conventions against the crime of apartheid.
True.
We have conventions against genocide. And we have the Fourth Geneva Conventions, which are supposed to protect civilians living under military occupation. So we have ideals for how we as humans should behave in these types of situations. The problem is that Israel is violating all of these international laws, all of these human rights conventions with complete impunity because of the diplomatic support that the United States provides to it. And that, I think, is the difference, because the strong do not necessarily have to adhere to international law and to international norms. I mean, let's be real. Our attack and occupation of Iraq was illegal under international law because it had no UN Security Council resolution authorizing it. And there was no legitimate self-defense that we were exercising because we were not attacked by Iraq. But the reality is that the United States got away with its invasion of Iraq because the strong often trample on international law.
Fair enough. I see where you're coming from with that. Now, how did you get involved with the majority of this? Like, what's your background in that?
My father was born in Palestine before it became Israel in 1944. So I have those family connections to the issue. And I've just always been very disturbed ever since I've had any political awareness of what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people, very disturbed and distraught about the oppressive and very racist policies that it pursues toward the Palestinian people, and feel that I have an obligation to challenge those policies, not only because of my family history, but also because I'm an American citizen. And the reality is that all American citizens are complicit and responsible for Israel's oppression of the Palestinian people because we fund it with our taxpayer dollars in the form of weapons, and we provide Israel the diplomatic support that it needs to thumb its nose at the international community.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left with you here, Josh, and I want to know, where do you stand on this campaign to end Israeli occupation at this point? Like, how's things going for you guys?
Well, things aren't so great right now with more than 100 Palestinians on average per day being massacred by Israel and us not able to stop it.
Wow.
But we're growing. The fact is that the more Israel behaves in this brutal fashion, the more people are coming over to our cause, getting involved locally. If people want to get involved locally in St. Louis, there's a protest this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. at Shaw Park. Be there. It's being sponsored by different groups in St. Louis. Get more information. Get involved locally. There's a whole movement that is really springing up all over the country of people just tired of the United States backing Israel's increasingly brutal policies toward the Palestinian people.
Now, is there a website where people can find out more information on the campaign to end Israeli occupation?
Yes, you can go to our website at www.endtheoccupation.org. And if you'd like to get involved with the St. Louis Palestine Solidarity Committee, their website is stl-psc.org.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Josh Rubner. The author of Shattered Hopes, Obama's Failure to Broker the Israeli-Palestinian Peace. I'm sure they can find that on Amazon.com. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct, or at your local bookstore.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Josh. I think you opened up a lot of people's eyes to kind of the history of what's going on, why they're where they're at. So now that when they go onto Facebook and social media to just tear into each other, at least maybe they got a little background on how this all came about.
Thank you so much for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is Josh Rubner. We'll be back on The Q. Check us out at theqnow.com during this break right after this.
We like to get crazy. Crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, producer Bobby, as well as the Polar Vortex himself, Dan Walsh. We just got off the phone with Josh Rubner talking about Israeli-Palestinian relations. And Dan, you were quite quiet. Quite quiet on the phone there, sir.
I was letting him say what he had to say.
I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say in regards to that. Because, like I said, you were quite quiet and I didn't hear you say anything.
Well, like, I didn't want to, like, it's our job to, like, let him on and say what he's got to say.
Of course. But you should also have your own.
Me personally, I always say this. A, you don't know about a war until you're there. You can't trust any outside secondary information. listening to what he was saying, I was with him on the whole historical factor and that, and coming in, and it was fine, except where I was confused is that he was continuously talking about how all the awful things that Israelis were doing and so on. And I never heard him at all ever acknowledge the fact that there was Palestinian attacks, Palestinian abductions and murders. Like, it takes two to tango.
So you felt it was one-sided.
I think it was very one-sided. And then on that,
well, he said he is of Palestinian descent. Yeah, I mean, and obviously, I understand that.
And I can see where that's emotional. And like I said, I've never been there. But just as a person that's viewing this, it's like, okay, it takes two to tango. We know that there's been violence on both sides. At least, maybe we're being lied to. I don't know. Maybe we were. I can give them that. But what I really didn't like was that it's always a quick blame, an easy blame on the U.S. So I can say the U.S. influence early in the U.N. for them to divide the land like they did. I'm totally on with them on that. Yeah, sure. I'm with you. But as of right now, the U.S. and, yeah, the funding and all that stuff, that's great. But these two gentlemen are the ones involved, the two leaders of the Palestinians and the Israelis. And they are failing to have a resolution. And I didn't hear any blame on their behalf. I didn't hear any blame of these guys can't get together. These guys can't do it. It's always the U.S. is supplying this. The U.S. is doing this. The U.S. is doing that. They're doing war crimes like the U.S. did. And then he used destroying homes. Well, here's something I got to tell you. Homes are destroyed in all wars.
Well, of course.
If that's a violation of war crimes, well, guess what? Everyone violates war crimes.
I also think it's a difference between when people are viewing the perspective of why this is going down. Like, I think the Palestinians are viewing this from the beginning years of it, back in the 1940s, when they were pushed off the land against their will, and even though they had the majority of occupation there, and they had a lot of Big Brother people helping them out to push them off the land, they're looking at it from, you walked into my house when I owned it, and you tried to kick me out of my own house.
And you suck
as a person.
And
I think Israelis are looking at it from everything that happened after that. It was like, yeah, we're going to forget about the fact that we walked into the house. We're just going to talk about that once we walked into your house, you punched me in the face.
Yeah.
So I punched you in the face. So then you punched me back, so I punched you back. And that's where the argument with the Israelis goes. It's like, you got to go back that extra 2% back.
I'm not condoning any of the actions, period. But what I'm saying is, there's issues obviously on both sides. And instead of trying to blame the United States, maybe the focus needs to come on these two sides, because they're the ones involved. Yeah, we're funding, we're doing that. Okay, we're evil for that. That's great.
Sure.
But where was the blame of, the Palestinian leader and the Israeli leader can't come together. They can't. I mean, there was other things that could have happened. You responded with a punch, with a kick. I understand that. I can see their point. I understand why they're upset. But there's violence on both sides. And I think before you can have a conflict, a resolution of a conflict, there needs to be the admittance of wrong on both sides. I'm with them on the fact that, yes, their land was taken away unjustly, and I sympathize for them 100%. I don't think that anybody should be killed. I don't think that children should be killed, and I'm not condoning that. I don't think that we should supply the genocide of any given group of people at all either. But where I just get a little perturbed is that if you're going to say all the evils that someone else did and then just completely leave out some of the stuff that you did, I think that it's sometimes irresponsible.
Fair enough.
So I think that until everyone involved can admit everything that's done, there's going to be no conflict. And don't think of this at all. I'm not trying to defend the Israelis, and I'm not trying to say that Palestinians are wrong. I'm just saying that in that presentation, and though I've heard in a few, that it seems that they really paint a picture of, we're just sitting here getting, destroyed, and we're just sitting peacefully, and we're not, you know what I mean? Like, they're fighting back. They're, you know, and I'm, and my thing is, it's not my country. I'm not there. If my country is funding it, then that's fine. But I don't know. I can't not pay taxes. I can't, refuse to do it because their funding is real. We don't have a choice. So if you're going to get pissed, don't get pissed at the American taxpayers. You get pissed at the American government, and then you get pissed at the Palestinian leader and the Israeli leader. Put the blame in the people who can change it. Stop trying to take a scapegoat and blaming America again for everything.
You don't have to pay taxes.
What?
We can get into that later.
But. Yeah, go ahead and don't pay taxes and see how that works out for you.
Go ahead and figure that out for yourself.
Show me the law that says I
who
have
cares
to.
Whether there's a law or not? No.
And even if you don't.
Let them try.
And this is a firsthand account. There was a guy who did not have anything. He did not purchase anything with credit, anything. And he went completely on his own, and he didn't pay taxes.
Yeah.
What the government did is they then went to his employer. And basically the employer, and they said, and they could legally do this, say that if he doesn't pay taxes, you will not be penalized for it because you pay him. And they can do that.
But there is nowhere, unless you can show me a piece of paper in Congress, a piece of paper in the Constitution, wherever the hell it is, you can show me where it says I have to pay taxes.
If you purchase something and there's a sales tax, or you purchase something as your property and you're making payments, yes, you do.
Where? Where does it say that? Because there's no law.
Do I have a direct copy of it? No, but you do.
But what I'm saying is there's no law that was enacted that said you had to pay taxes. The law actually was a one-time war tax to help pay for the Civil War, and people just blindly kept paying it.
No, no, no. In legality, if you're purchasing an item and you own certain things, yes, you do. It's more of a legal agreement than it is a part of the Constitution. It is. You have to pay taxes on that. You're purchasing it from, like, land. You're purchasing, it's not just a blank piece of land that you're purchasing. You're purchasing it from the United States government.
Right.
So, yes, you do have to pay taxes on that. Things that you purchase from other people, you do have to pay taxes on. It's a legal agreement. It's a legal binding contractual agreement. You do have to do it.
But the legal agreement is the paper that I'm signing that says that I'm buying the property from that person.
But you're paying taxes on it.
And then I'm handing them money.
But you're paying taxes on it.
But why? Why am I paying taxes? There's no reason I should be paying taxes.
Then don't buy a car.
But that's an easy fix.
No, because you're disputing the legality of it. You're disputing the contract. Then don't sign it. Don't do it.
But the contract is a blind follow the leader type of thing. Like, they just want me to basically blindly say, okay, so some dudes back in, like, the 1700s said, hey, we need to pay an extra $10 so we can make sure that the soldiers have somewhere to live. But, I mean, that's not how it works.
Bobby, but I think that this could all be fixed very simply. I want to play a clip for you, okay? I want to play this little clip for you guys both, because, Dan, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from with this. And, Bobby, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from with this, too, okay? This is a comedian by the name of Christopher Titus. I want you to just listen to this out, okay?
Okay.
Glad I was raised by my father instead of my mom, too. Because women in general suck at raising kids. That's right, I said it. Who wants some? Come on. Here's what I mean, ladies. You see a kid putting a penny in a light socket, what do? Oh, my God, stop it. And you smack that little hand. Well, there. Well, when that kid's 5, getting smacked in the hand is no big deal anymore. Fathers see the exact same child putting a penny in a light socket and go, no, wait. Shh. Well, go on. Well, you're not going to do that again, are you? Yeah.
So, Bobby, go ahead. Hold on, Dan. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead. Don't pay taxes. Just do it.
I've gone 3 years before without paying taxes.
Yeah. Why only 3? Why not 10?
Should have never paid. Don't give into the man.
Don't get pulled back into this situation. No. Keep going. Why didn't you stop after 3?
I just...
And why'd you start again after 3?
Well, because I wanted my money back that the government just so happened to freely take out of my paycheck that I worked hard and earned. See, that's where I have the problem with this. You know, the government is a great entity because it helps keep regulations and keeps things running. But the problem I have is the fact that I bust my ass every day, most days, 7 days a week, barely seeing my kids because I work so damn hard. But yet the government makes sure they put their little grubby little fingers in my pocket because they don't have a problem sitting on Capitol Hill doing nothing.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a second here.
Sitting there doing nothing most of the time, but yet they make sure that out of every damn paycheck that I make, that they make sure they get their $200.
Well, they're going to get theirs.
And that's the problem I have. Because taxes are not supposed to be something where somebody just sits there on their ass and gets to get their money.
Well, your problem in this case is that you work for jobs and another person allows the government to take the taxes out against what you consider your will. If you could stop that aspect of it, would you have continued on past the 3 years?
Yeah.
Your companies also at some point borrowed money or did a government program. Even the biggest corporations at some point did and still do.
Well, that's cool.
So that's why they can get you through your employer and not you directly. If you wanted to be off the grid and not purchase anything.
Would you like to be a sovereign state of yourself?
I'm probably going to be.
Oh.
Well, legally you're going to run into more problems because then you'd be trespassing.
Yes.
And you still have to abide by the laws of the place that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, you don't, because you run the raw the
I'm
laws.
I'm the sovereign state.
I mean, you're not within 20 miles of Washington, D.C.
But no, you're on U.S. soil. You do.
But it's not 20 miles from Washington, D.C.
I don't even know who drew that up and why that's even. I would love to see why. I was on an airplane, and I was in Heathrow Airport in England, and a guy got in trouble, and literally they could take his identification from him, and he tried to dispute it with, I swear to God, I know my rights. And then they had to explain to him, you're in Great Britain.
You're
this
in Great Britain.
This is a completely different set, brother.
By the way, not only are you in Great Britain, but you're in the country that you went out of your way to kick to the side.
And we're still angry.
And we're still angry about that stuff.
I'm going to make amends.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to move on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say what were you one gonna last do? Thing.
Go for it.
Okay,
what
so
you could by any means add to this story.
Sorry.
Better.
I was just going to let you know.
Sure.
That after doing a little research, there is one piece of information that I was wrong about. The 16th Amendment.
No, there was a lot of information that you were completely wrong talking about.
This is just the one you found so far.
The 16th Amendment does give the Congress the ability to impose a tax on the government or on the people of the United States.
There it is. 16th Amendment.
So just please keep paying your taxes. Okay,
because
I don't know how well you do in prison.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I've been to prison.
I don't want you going back.
No, you've been to jail. Yeah, you haven't been to prison.
Oh, you didn't mean to prison.
I was at the Justice Center.
Yeah. Like, dude, you were there for 15 years. They're a completely
this
different breed.
This isn't Leavenworth,
brother.
Okay? They didn't send you to Marion. Let's just put it that way.
You're going to look mighty juicy to them.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget you can go and try to win a pair of tickets to see Hello Dolly at the Muni by going to theqnow.com. Click it on the contest section at the top of the page. Or to get more information about Hello Dolly, go to muni.org. We're giving away a pair of tickets, and that's going to be awesome. And
I was just gonna say, also try and register to win tickets to WrestleFest 5.
No.
Oh, did we already give those away?
Yeah, no, we already gave them
they
away.
Can.
Oh, my bad.
How could we? Jeez.
Go ahead and try. We'll deny you.
Yes.
Try.
Solely to feed our ego.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, but WrestleFest 5, definitely huge thing coming up, and yes. I want everybody to be able to go to that too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you noticed this, but you probably have already heard it. It's on every major news cycle that's been going on over the past week and everywhere else in the world. The conservative Congress that tends to be in power in the United States of America made the stupidest decision in the history of American politics, and they decided to sue Barack Obama, the president of the United States, wait for it, for not enforcing the Obamacare policies properly. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They are doing this under the guise that he is not enforcing the laws of the land that he enacted properly, and by therefore is not doing his job properly.
How is he not enforcing it?
Because they're stating, because he uses an executive order to like take pieces of the legislation, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's not go too far. Pieces of the legislation that they fought vehemently and took votes on in Congress to pass to stop Barack Obama's Obamacare from mandating these specific drop dates and making them push them out so that people can get up to par faster because they owed it to the American people. Now, because Barack Obama said, okay, fine, sign an executive order to effectively do exactly what you voted on and wanted him to do, you turn around and go, oh, well, by doing that, you obviously are not enforcing the original laws of the United States. Yet you don't have a problem with just a few weeks ago, your Supreme Court going in there and mandating that a piece of Obamacare legislation is not constitutional and needs to be reviewed. So you have no problem with that when they want to stop specific pieces. And you totally, it's not about Obamacare. Ladies and gentlemen, your Congress is out of control. They have become morons. That's right. Let's spell it. MORONS. Morons. They literally are so bitter, so angry, and they have so much just...
And so old.
They're so... It's just... The black... I'll say it again. The black man that is president of the United States, they can't stand it. And now,
It's not impeachment. Remember, it was about impeachment.
Yeah, I thought they wanted to impeach him.
But they didn't have enough power. See, they didn't have enough people because certain high-ranking members of Congress, whenever you would bring up the idea of impeaching the president of the United States, they go, you know what I'm saying? Because they know what that means. They know the paperwork it's going to take. They know that the arguments they're going to have with their own people.
And they're going to have to stay in work.
They're going to have to stay in work. They know that the stuff is going to hit the fan if you impeach the president of the United States. And Paul Ryan said it best when he was brought on to I think the Christian Science Monitor or someone like that did an interview with him this past week. And they asked him specifically about lawsuit versus impeachment. And basically, he didn't say these specific words. What he did was he said it in a very roundabout way so that he couldn't use the word impeachment and like have it come back on him. He basically said he hasn't done anything of an impeachable offense, but they can pull the lawsuit card. Well, guess what, you morons? Now you've actually hurt yourselves even worse because a lawsuit is probably going to get thrown out. And the reason why it's going to probably get thrown out is, one, you're dealing with the Supreme Court handling the majority of the information that you want to complain about. The Supreme Court of the United States, no matter how much you think that they're against or for the president of the United States, they are the highest power in the court system. There's no lower power you can go to because he's the president of the United States. So that means anything that has to do with the president of the United States and his laws that he has enacted in Congress... Let me guess. Let's take a guess. Show of hands. Who thinks this is going to go to the St. Louis District County Courthouse? It's going to get over there?
I hope so.
Who thinks it's going to get over to Marion, Illinois, and it's going to go to their court system
to
argue about Barack Obama's use of Obamacare and how he enacts laws? How many people? Or does everybody in the room think that it's going to be the Supreme Court of the United States that's going to make these decisions?
The Supreme Court.
Of course it is. And guess what? They're already making decisions on it. So basically all you did, Congress, was go to the 7, 8, 9, whatever it is, guys, on the Supreme Court, and you piss them off. You basically make it look like you're going out of your way to not care about the moves that they're making on that specific legislation because you're going to try to say, you're not doing your job, Supreme Court. We're going to bring this up in front of you, and we're going to sue him for this. What do you think about that? And the Supreme Court's going to look at you and go, we are way more powerful, and we are this entire branch of the government, and we control it, and you suck as human beings.
Checks and balances, sucker.
And the checks and balances are going to eat your life. Second, you think that this is some glorious move to get your fan base up and rearing to go for the November elections. Nope. All you did today, literally this past week, and ever since you've been busting his butt, we proved it in the 2012 elections. You guys are actually on a roll going into the 2012 elections. There was a chance. But then Mitt Romney said the 47% situation and blew that out of the water and got everybody all pissed off. And that literally just the minute you have so many moderates like myself, people who pull from both sides, sitting on the fence. The minute you do something stupid like this, you just knock those idiots right back into the court for the other guy. That's all you do. You knock them right back over there because there's no moderate, there's no independent who's going to look at the situation and go, you know what? Them Tea Party guys are finally right. It's a good idea to just try to sue the president of the United States. By the way, the first attempt ever in the history of all presidents. Okay, this isn't something that's been done before where you can like point back to other instances and go, look at this.
No. Are they suing him like personally for like his money?
Yeah, straight up.
This How is the, much no, money no, no. are they
As president of the United States, as president of the United States, enacting laws for the United States as the figurehead.
But like, what is his punishment if he's guilty? Let's just play a game.
Let's play the game.
Who's guilty?
Well, they'll say that Barack Obama is guilty.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I understand that. But now, like, what is
I would say that if this is shooting off the hip and trying to like facilitate off of what I know and the knowledge of how these kind of the way these people work mentally, they're thinking that if they can prove through the court system that he has illegally done something, they can state that that is a capital offense or a federal offense. And at that point, he has done something that has the stamp of approval that it is basically a felony of some sort. That would be grounds
for impeachment.
So, I mean,
for an impeachment, I would believe.
You can sue some. I thought suing always had to be civil.
Yes, you would think that.
But I thought if it's tried civilly, you can't do it criminally.
They're not thinking.
For impeaching.
They're not thinking. See, you're thinking.
I just want to say this. And actually, in your defense, And this is from somebody who's not a bias. Like, me and Mark have talked. I'm not a big fan of Obamacare.
No, he's not. But on top of it, Dan is one of the first people to tear me a new one whenever the chance arises.
But I am in complete agreement on the fact that I disagree with the fact that he's not properly enforcing. I think he is. And I think I'm agreeing with you. They say it's one thing this day, it's next thing this day. And I'm going to go out there and say he is properly enforcing it. I realized that when I went to get my taxes done after my extension. And that's what they said they were going to do. I don't understand where he changed that. He didn't shorten the date. He went to the date that he said he was going to do it. Whether I'm in agreement or not.
Well, no, there was an extension. Yeah, that's what they're trying to complain about is the extension.
That's what they said.
Remember originally it was supposed to be October of last year. Yeah. Everybody was supposed to like get in line by October of last year. And then they moved that date out to the beginning of this year, I think in March. Because they said that the system wasn't, remember the internet situation was going bad and all that. So he signed the executive order to change the law that was already passed to move that date back. So by moving that date back, he gave the Republicans and the conservatives what they wanted. But just because he did it, that still's not good enough for them. See, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, with the conservatives in the United States of America. And you know what? I know you're going to sit there listening on your radio going, I'm a conservative and I don't blah, 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 blah. Listen, you voted these people in. It's your hand that put that person in because you believed what they said was your values. And what they will do is what you want to do. So therefore, you're a crappy person too. If you're a conservative American in the United States of America on this day in 2014, you're a piece of crap. And you deserve to be called a piece of crap because it's your fault this situation's going down.
Well, I wouldn't be like, I have friends of mine that
are pieces of crap.
No, they're conservatives. They do a good job. They're well-educated. They're not a part of the religious
Yeah, they're well-educated because they know how to change the filtering Jiffy Lube. That doesn't mean that you know what the hell's going on
brother,
in the world.
I'm talking multiple degrees from Washington University on political science. These are very educated guys.
Good. Bring them on.
They're not... Just like me, who, like I said, I'm not in favor of Obamacare, but in this instance, I'm totally on the side of, yeah, they are stupid for suing him. This is ridiculous.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, more with myself, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby. Stay tuned. Check out theqnow.com. You listen to us on 1380 The X and 1420 WINI.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. Mark Bland, that guy over there.
Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh.
And that guy over there.
I'm producer Bobby.
You're producer Bobby. You can check us out every single week at theqnow.com. That's our website on the internets where you can go check out our bios as well as old episodes, new episodes. And you can also hit the contact us section where you can send in your letters. I've got another piece of hate mail this week. I'm just telling you. But I'm still, I'm still fired up about this lawsuit against Obama. I cannot believe this. This just blows my mind how dumb people, they really believe, like, that in their mind, and this is what I picture. In their mind, they're thinking, oh my God, we're going to nail this guy to the wall. We're going to be able to use that to get him impeached. On top of it, here we go right into November 2014 elections. We're going to turn all these people around. They're going to love us just the way they love their Jesus. And they're going to come start voting for the Tea Party and the Congress to be Republican and conservative. That's what's going to happen. Man, I cannot believe this is going to happen. And all they did was literally make any person who was in the middle go, that seems a little outlandish what you just did.
You know what I really don't get about it? Is like, okay.
What's that?
Obviously, they're really excited about staying rich.
Sure.
And they're so upset with like Obamacare, but like Obamacare, which like originally was proposed as like to give that to almost not quote take from the rich and give to the poor, but like
something
they were
like
going to get proper. They were going to get proper. But then it like completely wasn't the case. Like they aren't. And if anything, it hit a lot of people in like lower to middle income. Not a lot. I'm not posing blame. So these guys get away with not having to pay any more of their grubby money, you think they'd be happy with it.
Nope, of course
they're
not.
They're still angry. It's like, are you kidding me? You got away unscathed on this, and you're still pissed about it just because he said it.
Right, exactly. That's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be some racist. I'm not trying to be some bigot towards conservatives. I'm not trying to be some guy. I literally play the cards that are dealt on the table. I look at what the lay of the land is, and I go, all right,
You guys, every time they try to post these stupid memes, they go Fast and Furious, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that, blah, 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 Benghazi, blah, blah. And it's like 1,000 things that are technically out of this man's control that he had nothing to do with. He wasn't the guy who, like, made the phone call and was like, make sure that that Warren or that Senator Christopher or whatever, Ambassador Christopher gets killed tonight, or else Barack Obama's not going to sleep tight the way he wants to. Like, that's not what happened. And in your minds, that's all that's happening. Every time the guy turns around, he takes a sip of his, he's like this. Oh, yes. I ruse those white American people again. Look at me, still here, doing my thing against their will.
I just want to know who the Mr. Benghazi is that everyone's so...
Mr. Ben?
Well, it's Benghazi. Yeah, Mr. Ghazi.
Who is this fella? Very important fella.
Very important fella.
Not a friend of the Republicans.
No, he's not a friend. But my point is that you guys have literally got nothing. You've got nothing to base it off of.
This is what irritates me the most, is that because of how erratically they are, like how just they're acting, like in my opinion, and I'm like, this pisses me off even more because they've made me talk about politics more than I ever want to, is that the guy, there are legitimate things that you could be upset about or bring up,
and
but
be upset,
they don't. They go for like silly stuff that, like you said, is a dead end, and then they get all like crazy about it. It's like you're making yourselves.
Well, it's not so much that. It's that they have things that they could be unhappy about. But the problem is the most you can be is unhappy about it. Like, it's, oh, he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. I feel this way about something. He feels that way about something. In most cases, most people would go, well, that's just Dan's opinion and that's just Mark's opinion. Well, that's just Bobby's opinion. Like, but in your guys' mind, you get unhappy about it because he did it. And then there you go, well, instead of just being unhappy about it, you go, well, there's got to be some type of a loophole that he's pulled. Like, it's always got to, there's got to be something to it, like more. And it's like, come on.
In the beginning, they had a valid case when he was drawing it up that there was a $10,000 swing or whatever that they didn't, that he never discussed. And they could have been adamant about that, but they didn't. They like lightly touched on it. And then they wait for silly things to get all up in arms about. And it's like, you had somewhat of an issue that you could have possibly pushed. And then you didn't, and you go for stupid stuff.
That's the argument with the whole impeachment aspect of all of this. Like, it's the fact that, just like Paul Ryan said, it's not that he has done anything of an impeachable offense. But if you look at the things that they say in the media on the conservative side, if you listen to the things that Boehner and them try to throw down people's throats with all of their press conferences, he's just the most maniacal, Hitler-esque, tyrannical dictator that has ever existed. And like, oh my God, he moved the date from October back to March like we wanted. See what he's doing to us! And it's like, yeah, he did what you wanted. Like, what's the problem with that? That's not the point! And it was like, okay, so what's the point? It's that it's just not what the... And then they don't ever have a reason. They get really up in arms and it's like, that's the point. All you can do is be unhappy about the fact that he's on the other side of the game against
you. And you could have brought up, as it was going on, you could have brought this up and been more adamant about it and possibly maybe even fixed it.
But they didn't. That's where I disagree, because even being adamant about it, there's nothing to fix. It's just, oh, he's not on my side. He's pro-choice and I'm pro-life.
Well, no. I'm talking about just with the Obamacare. You could have been like, hey, listen, this was, and then when they brought it up, he brought up, and I'll actually say this, and I don't say things in favor of Obama.
True.
Okay. A lot.
That's
very
true.
But he brought up a point that I actually, and I discussed this with you, that I was actually very proud to hear him say, because I was not happy when I heard about that it was going to have this much more money than what he said before, and that it should have been brought up. But then he brought up a point that I was like, you know what? Good point. And he said that when they came up with seatbelts, and they had an original, like, funded for seatbelts, it went over that. And you had to make those exceptions to get something in place that we were going to need. Like, sometimes you can't project exactly what something's going to happen, and it does.
Life is life. Things change.
Once he said that, it's one of those, like, okay, well, that is a very constructive way to look at it. Whether I'm happy or not, I understand, and then let's move on.
Well, see, that's the problem that I have with conservatives for the most part is not that, like I said, I pull from both sides. Guys, I have conservative values that I adhere to on a day-to-day basis, and I implement them in my life consistently. My problem is what Dan brought up earlier in the last section of the show, the last half hour of the show, which was, it's just stupid things. You guys do a lot of stupid things. And the problem is that it's not somebody else trying to make you look stupid. You physically do them. They get caught on tape,
or you say them, or you like report them, or like you just do them, and then everybody sees it and goes, God, that's really stupid. And then you guys go, no, it ain't. It's American because I'm American and I can be able to do that. And it's like, well, of course, you're more than welcome to be the court jester, but not everybody thought the court jester was as funny as the king did.
Well, like, that's the point. And here's the thing. If they weren't doing that, they could have caught dumb things that he said, and they didn't even jump on it when he said it. And it made me angry. But, I mean, one point that I thought was a really funny thing that Obama said was he said that the world is safer now than it's ever been. And I completely disagree with that.
Well,
but they didn't even say anything. It was just like, it's they're so tunnel vision on that. It's like, dude, now, and here's the thing I did want to say too. There are conservatives that aren't Tea Party. There's conservatives that think Tea Party are morons.
Yep.
So, like, I don't want to tie all them in. And that's what I was trying to say before. And that even they're at the point where they're like, dude, let it go. Like, they're not all on board with this stuff. And not all hillbillies are conservative. You see those guys that have the right to work's a ripoff and union, yes. And
but the problem with
their country, too.
But here's the problem. The problem that you get here in the St. Louis area, specifically, I know we have a lot of listeners throughout the United States and Asia, of course, our Asian contingent. They're all over the place.
Pro Obama.
Yes, they're very pro Obama. But my point is that, like, we have a problem with the unions in St. Louis. And I'm not knocking unions. I grew up in a union household. It paid for a lot of my life growing up. I don't have a problem with unions. What I have a problem with is unions are historically liberal. But in St. Louis, just the main headquarters is liberal because they'll put the signs for all the Democrats out in front. But if you hit the pit fire on Friday night with the guys who work trade labor or pick up Snickers wrappers in the labor union or whatever, they hate Barack Obama and they voted for Mitt Romney and their conservative is all get out.
I heard this.
I'm sorry.
This is an actual
statement.
And
that's only in St. Louis and a few other small cities. The rest of the United States, if you're union, you're Democrat. Only in St. Louis, or if you're union, you're conservative.
I actually heard someone say this the other day, and I almost started laughing at the ignorance of it, but he goes, yeah, well, he was one of these gentlemen we're talking about, and he literally goes, yeah, I voted for the black effer. I mean, he's got it together, he's clean, and I swear to God, I'm like, are you serious? This discussion is happening in 2014?
No, it is.
And you're explaining to me why you voted for him in the most racist way I've ever heard a human being refer to another human being.
He also has a Confederate flag tattoo on his arm, but it has nothing to do with racism. He just really thinks that the South losing was a bad deal because they should have won. But that's the whole point of war. When you get beat up, you get beat up.
That's like not taking your McCain Palin poster down after the election. It's, like, it's over, dude.
Yeah, like Travis Cook driving around with his Romney Ryan sticker on his car.
Awesome.
That's still like it matters.
You know, I was, as a joke one time, I was gonna get a shirt that said Bush Cheney forever.
Oh,
just because I know how upset people were with him, and I just wanted to wear that just to get
you should wear that to the ring.
Off.
That would be really funny,
dude. As a bad guy, oh my god, you could totally.
You could totally do that in Anarchy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, dude, you Bush could easily Cheney do forever. That in Anarchy all day long. So what do you got over there, Bobby?
Well, Jimmy Fallon discussed the pros and cons of Joe Biden potentially becoming the next president.
Okay.
So let's take a look at the pros and cons of a Joe Biden presidency. Here we go. Pro, he'll no longer be number two.
That's true.
Con, he'll still giggle when you say number two.
Yeah.
I love about him.
Pro, he believes in a bright future for the Middle East. Con, mostly because he thinks Middle East is one of Kim and Kanye's kids. That's not it. Northwest, Middle East. Yeah, no, I can see.
Southwest.
Pro, for Secretary of State, he'll pick someone who's fluent in several languages and well-traveled. Con, Dora the Explorer. That's it.
Strong choice. He can go a lot worse.
Yeah, he can do worse. Pro, he's looking forward to working closely with the FBI. Con, he still thinks it stands for Female Body Inspectors. That's graceful.
You'd think he'd learn by now. No. He's been in government a long time.
Pro, Biden has already spent hours in the Oval Office. Con, mostly spinning around in President Obama's chair.
It's true.
And that's what Jimmy Fallon thinks.
All right, let's move on. I don't want to beat this horse to death. We all just make an agreement tonight that most conservatives, if not...
Let's make a pact.
99.99% of all conservatives are morons.
No.
And there's
I'm
like...
I'm not going to agree to
there's
that.
A very small contingent that aren't.
Okay, well, I've got something that's going to break.
And you know all
no,
of that small
because
contingent.
Me and you had a conversation on some liberals and Democrats that aren't all that bright either.
What do you got over there?
I've got something that's going to brighten your day.
And brighten my day.
Take care of this. Who else gets excited when they hear a rapper get scared?
I don't know if I get excited when I hear a rapper. I don't think it matters.
Especially
anymore.
This one, because he's got so much street cred. DMX on an amusement park ride.
Oh, okay.
You ain't gonna fly scared. It's a scary ass with me. It's a scary ass. Oh, oh, whoa, whoa. Get it.
That's crazy, man. What are you doing, them slingshot type things or something?
Yeah, the slingshot.
Is this his new single?
That's my messenger. What am I doing there? Oh my God, he's going out of control. Ask real, like what is scared? Oh man,
great!
That is good stuff right there. All right, I'm going to ask you guys: do you want a story? Or do you want me to rant? I've been ranting for a while.
Let's do a story.
Let's do a story. Everyone is saving a buck with Airbnb. Do you guys know what Airbnb is?
Bed and breakfast?
Well, yeah, it is. But basically, it's an app where people put their houses or their apartments, their condos, up for kind of like an Uber. They're kind of like an Uber for staying at locations.
Okay.
Like, you can get, like, in comparison, like, if a taxi with Uber, a taxi cab, or what is the other one, Lyft?
Lyft.
If a taxi cab costs, like, $35 to go from the airport to the arch, right, to travel, Uber or Lyft would cost $20, okay? So it's a way to save money and get what you want. The same idea with Airbnb, but it has to do with locations to rent or houses. Like, basically, instead of staying in a $200 a night hotel, you can stay in a New York City high-rise over Park Place, you know what I'm saying, that normally would cost you $3,600 a month to rent, you know what I'm saying? You could literally stay there per night for $150, and you get the exact same amenities plus 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and like the outlook over, you know, the park and everything else. Like, it's one of those things. So that's what Airbnb is. And so check this out. So everyone is saving a buck with Airbnb, from New York sex workers turning apartments into brothels to XXX Freak Fest promoters locking down their next venues. Now a pair of Texas brothers have found a new exploit. You ready for this one? Squatting on vacation rentals. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the horror story began when the brothers rented a Palm Springs condo for 44 days because it's an extended thing on Airbnb. But after 30 days, they stopped paying the $450 per week rent to the condo's owner, Corey Schlagel. Now they're refusing to leave the unit, and the startup hotelier is sticking her with the legal bill. Schlagel said she begged Airbnb for help through numerous emails and phone calls without getting much assistance. Now she's hired a lawyer who will cost several $1,000s and take 3 to 6 months to evict the tenant, who now has renter's protections under California law because he has occupied the unit for over 30 days. Schlagel told the Chronicle that Airbnb was almost absent throughout the ordeal, saying there was no phone number or direct contact email. I got email responses only every 24 to 48 hours. Only when Schlagel's sister, who also happens to be a music executive, began tweeting that the company did Airbnb respond earnestly. Even with Airbnb on the case, the brothers are not leaving. Airbnb has since offered the squatters a free 30-day stay at a nearby hotel. However, they reportedly have not responded to that offer at all. Wow. Schlagel also informed her guests that electricity would be shut off after their 44-day stay was over, but that similarly failed to get them out of the unit. The guest texted back saying he was legally occupying the condo and that loss of electricity would threaten the work he does at home that brings in $1,000 to $7,000 a day. So not only do they squat,
he's a drug dealer.
So they decided to let, it's $450 a week, right? He's making $1,000 to $7,000
a day.
So they not only did he kicked him while he's down. That's what it comes down
he's
to.
He's either a porn star or a drug dealer.
They are holding a potential lawsuit over Schlagel's health, demanding compensation for medical damages. The text threatened to press charges for blackmail and damages caused by your negligence and malicious misconduct, including a 3800 PID espresso machine, as well as medical bills for my brother's hospital visit after he got sick here, drinking unfiltered tap water. Are you kidding me? Shut up. Airbnb spokesman Nick Pappas stressed to ValleyWag that the situation was unacceptable. Our initial response to this inquiry didn't meet the standards we set for ourselves, and we apologize to the host. Officials from our team have been in incredibly close contact with the host, and she has been paid the full cost of the reservation, and we're working with her to provide additional support as we move forward. But here's the problem. Airbnb is just a third-party service. They take a percentage off of whatever for facilitating setting up this deal. Once that's done, Airbnb, I think, technically has no place in the argument. It's between the owner of the house and the people that are now squatting, which were supposed to be renters or whatever.
Well, yeah. Isn't that similar to the situation with the nanny or whatever?
Yeah, it was very similar. That's what that reminded me of. That's my problem with California. You have squatters laws. Why do you have squatters laws?
Everybody has squatters laws.
But no. Why do you allow people to squat in houses? How is that even legal in the least bit? I understand maybe. Okay, so here's a house that's been on the market for like 2 solid years, or a rundown shack that, you know, is in a bad neighborhood or whatever, and some homeless guy sacks up in the master bedroom for a few months because it's not raining on him in there. And it's, you know, it's just a place to lay his head down at night.
Right.
And yeah, it's not glorious and it's not proper and he shouldn't be able to do it. But at the same point, why is this even an issue? Like, these are not stupid people that are doing this now. It's malicious. They're going out of their way to do it on purpose and get away with a loophole in the law because they're just human beings and the law applies to human beings. Mm-hmm. So they're going to use it to, like, whereas a squatter's law might benefit a homeless person.
Right.
You're making $1,000 a day, you douche.
Yeah, he could probably get a place very similar.
Not only very similar, but better,
probably
maybe.
Probably better.
Exactly.
Now he's just an being a blowhard.
Yeah, he's just being a blowhard a-hole. And I don't understand.
A blayhole.
I don't understand why you conservatives decide to squat on
it's
things.
It's all the conservatives. Here they go again. I didn't know they squatted, too.
These people are so out of control. That's all I'm saying.
Got conservatives squatting in California. That's
he's
all I
He's squatting in a house he shouldn't have been. He's squatting in a house he should have left 3 months ago, okay?
You know he's
watching Fox News, and he's sending emails off to get the president sued.
He's looking through law books on how he could sue the president.
Hey, John Boehner, I think we should go ahead and sue him now.
We got to put the system on trial, man.
We got to put these assholes out.
All right, so one of the things I want to talk about real quick. Do you love the ice cream, man? You love the ice cream, man? You like the ice cream, man? Remember
it,
growing up?
He always drove too fast.
He always drove too fast. What about you, Bobby? Do you love the ice cream, man? You love the ice cream, man?
Bobby loved the ice
cream
man.
Do you have to ask?
When's the best time for the ice cream man to come?
Bobby when's made the best sweet time? Love to the ice cream truck.
Let's be honest.
The best the, time what's is the best from, time? I'm going to tell you, stop talking.
Any day to end
from
in AY.
From 6 a.m. until 6 a.m.
12 p.m.
BS. Wrong.
Okay, no. Incorrect. Actually, good time. I think, honestly, the best time for an
when
ice cream.
When do you remember hitting the ice cream truck growing up?
Bobby between, says, when isn't it a good time?
Between 2:30 and 5. Because I was out of school and I hadn't gone. The ice cream man came at different times.
Okay, that's part of my rant. My rant is the ice cream man comes down my street today. Okay, it is summer, right? Mm-hmm. Comes down the street today at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. That's useless.
Why?
First off, no.
School's out.
It's summer. It's school's out.
Yeah, but they're doing things.
Hot afternoon.
But they're
treats.
Doing things. We all know that the best time for the ice cream man was always after dinner. Like 6 p.m. until 10. In that range, you would come down your street.
But
it was post-dinner. You get yourself like, you know, bomb pop or whatever like that. And everybody was hanging out in their front yards and talking to the kids were all playing. And then that's why there would be a mess. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, especially if it was 100 degree day, no one's at the ice cream truck.
But
ice cream man.
Absolutely.
But they
let me
can
teach
hear
you how to be a good businessman.
And
but
they
Bobby,
run out.
Look how big you are.
No,
obviously, you love the 1 o'clock
time. It doesn't have to do anything to
you
with
you hit him at 1 o'clock, 3
no,
o'clock,
no.
5 o'clock, and
Bobby.
7.
Listen, Bobby between 2:30 and 5 o'clock.
He gets in a car and chases it.
Between 2:30 and 5 o'clock during the school year is a perfect time.
Most kids are out of school. 5 o'clock, most kids haven't gone to like a soccer practice or a baseball or basketball practice.
Let me guess.
So that's the best time frame. And you're saying after 6 o'clock when dinner happens.
After dinner.
But wait, after 6 o'clock, most of those people are gone playing, doing athletics.
Yeah.
Bobby, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
go ahead. They're doing athletics.
Dan, this is a rhetorical question to Bobby. You sold things to other kids in class when you were growing up, didn't you? You were that guy who would bring, like, the things to class to sell to the... Like, you would get a picture of Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, and you'd be nobody else can get this. And they'd be like, $2. Okay, here.
But I will tell you, when I was in high school, I did sell porn pictures to people.
Yep, you sure did. People. I'm sure you did. God, that's why you like the 1 o'clock ice. You are the problem.
Wait a minute. I don't know the ties there. Like,
yeah. How the hell I'm not getting the ties.
Those kind of people
you
are the ones.
You sold pornography pictures to people, so you like 1
Bobby,
o'clock ice
Bobby,
cream.
Bobby, did you ever smile after 8 p.m.? Then that's exactly why
you want to see the ice cream man. You want to see the president of the United States, don't you? You smiled after 8 p.m.
It's them damn conservatives that make the ice cream truck come at 1 p.m.
I just thought it was a horrible time. I'm like, there's no one outside, man. Come back in about 5 hours and you'll be good.
This is my only point to that. It's like, if he's going to cover a bunch of neighborhoods, he's got to start before that time. You know, he's got to cover a lot of ground.
All right.
He's got a lot of coolers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, of course, we're going to have the five random things with Bobby. Don't forget, we're also going to have overtime after the show. Post on the download. You have to listen past the exit music, and then the new music starts up. We'll be back on the queue here on 1380 The X, the 1420 WINI, right after this. Gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, producer Bobby, Lil Jon, and
God, that is a hype song, baby.
I bet it is. Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, and we're gonna lighten the show up a little bit here. Just discuss a few other things. I got a piece of hate mail, and I want to read it live on the air.
I thought I was gonna lead into the hate
mail. Go ahead, dude. What do you got? What do you got, man?
Hey. I was saying that in the beginning of our show, top of our hour, we had the gentleman on for the Palestinian or the Liberation Committee, basically,
right,
the Israeli occupancy,
right,
and we got into some discussions where I had some questions that maybe counteracted some of the things that he said and so on and so forth. Since we're a show that promotes knowledge, that people get to learn knowledge and not just have ignorant one-sided statements, I push that the viewer or the listeners. Email us. Maybe with your educational. Let me stress that
you can say
your
viewers.
Educationally backed stance on the issue. That maybe you can inform us with some information, non-biased that maybe we don't know about, and we can all learn from it because we're keeping an unbiased mindset.
And we'll read them
live on the
show.
We don't know what's going on, and we'll read them. Make sure that they are, like I said, they're intelligent, and you're not just attacking and saying horrible things about people because we don't want to hear that.
Let me read what it should not sound like.
Yes,
this is
going to give you the example of what we don't need to hear.
This
because
is the
it doesn't
example.
Help.
Once a week, ladies and gentlemen, I go through my hate mail. Now, whenever something comes in, I read the first few lines, and immediately I know where they're going. If they've got something legitimate to say, they have a question that they want to ask or whatever, or if they just want to rail on me, okay? And in most cases, they rail on me. They never... Actually, it's really funny. One of our letters this week, addressed to Bobby!
Yay!
Because he had a problem last week, remember? Because none of them are addressed to him. One of our listeners hit us up and addressed him to...
I'm such an idiot. And I'm just surprised that people don't bash on me. Because, like, even I listen to the show afterwards, and I'm like, wow.
Dan, what happens?
I want to write an email to myself.
Let me explain to you, Dan. let me explain to you what happens. What happens is you got a decent voice. You know what I'm saying? You're a nice guy. You put your opinion out here on the radio. And what people go is, oh, man, I don't know who this Dan Walsh guy is. So let me take a look. And then they pop your name in, and they realize, look at this good-looking young fella. That says MTV. And look, and then they see all this stuff you've done. They go, well, gosh, he can't be that bad of a person.
Until
look at all
realize-
the success he's had. And look at how good he looks.
And I the girls figured get they woozy. Would see MTV and they'd be like, moron.
The girls- but then they realize that you take people's wives.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I live through
and
car
you have
accidents.
To create moral dilemmas for them.
Moral dilemmas. Which, by the way, Bobby loved moral dilemmas, and he says he wants to do it again.
So,
absolutely.
Back to what we were saying. Keep your comments. We want to hear your opinions, but please keep them intelligent. Please keep them informative. And don't let them sound like this.
Mark, I saw your comments on the North County Facebook group. You're a misogynist. I see how you treat the ladies in the conversation when they are getting the better of you. I can't even believe you have a wife. I feel sorry for her. She probably was just too lazy to jerk off, and that's why she married you. Wow. I wonder if liberals realize they are just horrible people that no one should trust. Do you beat your wife to make sure she's in line every night, or do you just save all your female hatred for us online? Laura had you dead to rights when she stated her opinion on George Bush and why Obama is the worst president in the history of all presidents. That's right. I guess you love promoting child killing and men having sex with each other. Come to think of it now, I wish your parents were pro-choice because this would have never even happened.
What a hypocrite. She just said right there, she switched her stance to pro-choice.
No, she says, well, that's a good point.
You just turned her in her own morals. Way to go, Mark.
What's so bad about men having sex with each other?
I just love the fact that she thinks that my wife just married me just because she's too lazy to jerk off.
Your wife obviously needs to jerk off more, Mark.
Is she implying that your wife has a penis?
No, I think she's implying the fact that she's just a lazy woman and that my penis is just all she's willing to settle for because I'm a horrible human being.
I believe the correct term should be rub one out.
Rub one out,
or
maybe.
Scratch a record. You know,
scratch the record. I've not heard that one before.
I think that's a Dan Walsh.
Have you guys been noticing there have been a lot of listen, what is up with here we go again. Black culture. What is wrong with you? Okay, we started off with the World Star Hip Hop fight videos, right?
Yeah.
All over the place, right?
Yeah.
Then they started a few months ago doing these challenge videos. Have you seen the challenge videos? They started off with the ice one. There was the ice challenge.
I'm kind of in favor of challenge videos.
The ice challenge one. The ice water challenge was hilarious because they just sit on something. They get like a ton of ice and they just fill it up with water and they make it really cold. And then they let somebody douse them like they just won the Super Bowl with it. And then they go, ugh. And it's always black people. There's no white people doing any of these. And if you do have a video of white people doing these challenges, please send one to me. I'd like to see one because I've seen none from white people.
What about Jackass? Wasn't there seasons of that?
Exactly. I understand.
Scotty McCurry did the ice water challenge.
Okay, who cares about Scotty McCreary? Nobody.
You asked for a white guy.
At all. Nobody cares about him. That's one. Give me another one. Exactly.
Rocky Marciano.
That's that one. No, here's my point. So then they went to, you ready for this one? You'll love this one, Dan. I don't know if you've seen any of these. Then they went to the boiling hot water one.
Holy
so
cow.
They went from the challenge of ice to where they would boil a pot of water. Now here's the best part of the challenge. The best part of the challenge is you don't do it to yourself. You run up on someone unsuspecting and you pour it on them. Yes.
All right, that's awful.
Yeah, who's the famous artist back in the 70s?
That's Battery.
His wife poured grits on his face. Reverend
Al Green.
Al Sharpton?
No. What's that?
Al Green?
Yeah, Reverend Al Green. Al Green, to this day, his face is just completely all on the side because his wife heated up a bowl of grits, and while he was taking a nap because they had gotten into an argument, she walked in with the grits, and she just poured it on his face, boiling hot, and it burned him.
I hate grits.
Like, just horrible.
Just on a side note.
Okay, so then there was the boiling one. So then there's the famous video of the guy who's washing his car, and the girl runs up with the boiling pot of hot water with his shirt off and just douses him with it. This poor kid, like, it had to be the most excruciating pain. Like, it was the saddest thing I ever saw.
Why did she do that?
Because it's part of the challenge. You see? It's the culture. You guys are stupid at times.
I was hoping it was white people.
The new one I want to talk about is this right here. If pouring rubbing alcohol on your chest and lighting it on fire sounds like a bad idea, you're right. You're sure right. A 15-year-old boy in Kentucky had to learn the hard way, however, after he attempted a stunt called the Fire Challenge that's been popping up on sites like Facebook and YouTube lately. I just poured alcohol on it, lit it, and it just automatically went and burst. The teenager who suffered second-degree burns tells WKYT. The teen and firefighters who responded say the videos, which also sometimes show teens spraying themselves with aerosol cans and then lighting themselves on fire, CBS Cleveland reports, don't show the aftermath once the burst of flames are done. Unbearable, the teen says. Literally, after I got put out, I was already blistering. And he says he realized now trying a stunt risks not only personal bodily harm, but serious damage to one's surroundings as well. Lexington police say that they'll be investigating and the child services have been called. That's the new thing. I don't understand, and this is, it's always black people. On the videos that I've seen, it's all black people. I've not seen a white person do it. They just stand in a shower. This is the best part. They stand in a shower with the water running because they think that water is going to put out the alcoholic fire because they don't understand chemicals. Yeah. So then they stand there and then they pour it all over their chest from the chin down, just all over themselves. They light it on fire and usually it just goes up like a ball of flame. Now we understand rubbing alcohol doesn't burn the same way as gasoline and other incinerants do. Yeah. But at the same point, you're just standing in water that isn't going to be able to put the fire out. And most of the time they turn to the water and they start just splashing themselves. And because the water doesn't
spread,
all it does, yeah, it dilutes the spread and it just makes it spread to their arms and they start rolling around and falling out of the bath. So most of these people are falling out of the bathtub with no shoes on, sliding around, heads hitting onto the toilet bowls and onto the ground. They're on fire with people screaming and trying to put them out. And we haven't even caught, there has been an issue already. One person did this in like a outdoor shed or whatever like that, and it caught the entire shed on fire.
Now, I did see a video, I think it was actually earlier today, of an African-American girl in the shower.
There you go.
No, you're going to like this. She's in the shower. She puts the alcohol on, and then she actually looks at the camera and goes, are you people stupid enough to actually think I'm going to light myself on fire?
Good for her.
Right.
Good for her.
The problem is the 1,000 other videos where they did light themselves on fire. Right. So, yes, the people are stupid enough to light themselves on fire. Why are you people like this?
Well, here's the thing that I got
to say. You people. That's what I say. You people. Why are you people like this?
And I'm not condoning this, but for years
before.
It's not
even a racist statement.
No, but for years before. Stupid people. This was a thing that white culture did. And you could go on YouTube and you could find
them. The cinnamon challenge.
Let's not
You could watch them torture themselves. And I'm really shocked.
Jackass.
And I'm shocked that now it is like becoming something that like the black culture is adapted to.
Right.
Like, if there's anything, you should have learned on what it did to us because
Jackass,
we were stupid enough to do it.
Jackass had Jackass started, I think, with episode 2. They are with movie 2, Jackass Part 2. They started doing the 0.5 series, which where they release
the movie.
Then they do the 2.5, 3, 3.5.
Because they always shot
more footage than they needed. Well, one of the most incredible ones that I ever saw had to do with Steve-O and the guy, Party Guy, the one of the Wild Boys. It's Steve-O and
Poinitis.
Chris Pontius.
Pontius,
right. Okay. Well, anyway, they decided that they were going to do, it's in, I think, 2.5. They went to a barn. And they basically set it up like an obstacle course. But the obstacle course is nothing but fire. So basically,
oh, yeah,
they just laid all the coals out on the ground underneath them, right? And then they have like, they have to run across the coals. They have to get on a metal beam and run across the metal beam. And then they got the guys on the side of the barn that are swinging things to try to knock them off the metal beam.
And they're on fire.
And they're on fire also. So literally was fire on top of fire. And the thing that really struck me was at the end of the one, Steve-O gets to the end of the beam, but he slips off because the beam is so hot from the coals heating up the metal beam that his foot starts to blister and starts to burn and his skin starts to give way and he slips off of it and falls into the coals, and then they have to run up and they have to, you know, do stuff. And they even had
coals were even on top of metal, a sheet of metal.
All they had
and
was,
that became a pan.
Right, exactly. And all they had on their body was the flame retardant gel that they can put on just so that if they hit it, it wouldn't burn their bodies. So he falls off, and when it was all said and done, it's Johnny Knoxville interviewing Steve-O, and he goes, "That was by far the stupidest stunt we've ever attempted, and I'll never do anything like that again. Like, that was way too dangerous even for us." These are guys who do this for a living, make millions of dollars, putting themselves through some of the most dangerous stuff for 15 plus years, and even they go, "I'm not lighting myself on fire."
And they're millionaires.
I'm not going to light myself on fire. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Like, this was too much. Like, that's crazy. So, if you're standing in a shower pouring rubbing alcohol on yourself and lighting it on fire, you're a moron. You might as well go sue the president.
You know what? I haven't seen it, and I'm not going to watch it because I'm not going to reward people that do that to themselves because that's horrible.
Well, I'm going to reward you guys with something.
What are you going to reward us with?
Primus is coming back.
No way.
Shut your mouth.
They're getting back together with a new album and a new tour.
Why?
Let me tell you, though.
They're conservative, aren't they, Mark?
No, they're just not that great.
Primus's new album will be all like this. Tell me if you understand what it is.
It's all Willy Wonka.
It's all Willy Wonka covers. The entire New Primus album.
That's unique, at least.
Is nothing.
I'll give him credit for that.
I like Willy Wonka. I like Primus, but I like Willy Wonka, too.
Which, that blows my mind that Gene Wilder, to this day, says that if he's interviewed...
It's the biggest mistake he ever made.
It's the biggest mistake he ever made, because he didn't get to do it the way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it dark, like Johnny Depp originally.
Yeah.
And they asked him to do it in a more funny, sadistic way. And I think, personally, I like both. I like his funny, sadistic way. He refuses to this day to talk about it.
I'm going
to
say that his version is creepier to me than Johnny Depp's version.
Of course it is.
It is way creepier, and
because
in my opinion,
seems like
way
a
darker.
Decent, he seems like a decent human being, whereas the other guy just looks like a freak that you want to avoid.
But when he does it, when those kids fall in the incinerator, he just seems to not care. And that's what gets creepy, is when the dude you think is going to help you doesn't care.
Exactly. That's the crazy part. And I just, you know, it's not just him, but it's who's the guy who played a Frankenfurter in Tim Curry refuses to talk about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That movie's awesome.
Even though it's the movie that made him who he is and gave him his career.
Classic.
It's a cult classic, and more people probably know him from that than anything else he's ever done other than
legendary
Clue.
Role.
Other than Clue.
And Clue.
That's it. Beyond those two. Like, he refuses to talk about it, and it blows my mind that Vanilla Ice will not talk about Ice Ice Baby in that album. He does not like to talk anymore. Well, now maybe he does now. I think that these guys should embrace these things because it's not a problem. Like, a lot of people love you for Willy Wonka.
I think what they did is they got so much overexposure for it, and they were probably hassled about it, stalked for it, all that, that it just put a bad taste in their mouth.
Well, I think Ike's problem is he tried to do the rock thing, and he tried to do an album called Robert Van Winkle, and he redid Ice Ice Baby in a rock style, and people blasted him for it.
Well, of course, because you're just going back to the well. Don't go back to the well.
Yeah. Right.
You already been down that road. We know you. We loved you. We accepted you for who you were, and then we moved on.
He wound up going from being hated to, like, loved again. Like the New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block were the same thing. They were hated towards the end, and then they come back, and they're selling, what, $200 tickets?
It's a nostalgia thing. People want to know that, like, it's one of those things. Britney Spears goes crazy, balls herself, goes away for 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden releases a new album with, like, you know, Till the World Ends and all that. It goes multi-platinum. It's great. Her career is back
because
on track.
She's nuts.
But your music's better
but
now.
But I think it's one of those things. You go away for a while, you can come back, right, Tony Stark? You can do that, Robert Downey Jr.
His was a little
Mickey
bit different.
Rourke?
He didn't really just go. He went to prison, and he had a horrible heroin addiction.
But that's back in the 90s.
He did less than zero, and then he kept doing the character study after the movie was done.
Right, exactly.
Well.
Bobby.
All right.
Every week.
We're going to get into the five things. Real quick, before we get into the five things, when we end the show today, I'm going to give you a new artist to check out. Her name is Meghan Trainor.
Why?
Because she's really good.
Do you got music?
Country? Yeah, Meghan Trainor. She's not country.
Okay.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
About that bass.
I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
How'd you come across Meghan?
I was watching just YouTube videos, and hers popped up as something for me to watch. It was recommended for me, so I checked it out. I love this.
Wow, it sounds like Iggy Azalea if she decided to do Amy Winehouse.
Well, kind of, yeah. But a little
bit. Well, yeah, kind of. Exactly.
That's what I thought about. But her song is, this song, All About the Bass, is what it's called, by Meghan Trainor. And it's Meghan Trainor. Is all about the fact that you don't have to be, you know, like she says in the song, you don't have to be a size 2 for people to like you and for you to have a good personality. You don't have to be this skinny person. You can embrace who you are.
So she's condoning obesity.
Right. Basically, I hate when women do that. I'm not saying this song's catchy.
It's good. It's catchy, but I don't
good.
Like that message.
It's catchy. It's cool. But I'm not a big fan of that message. And I'm not sitting there saying that, you have to. I'm not going to sit there and say that you have to condone people for being large.
You don't
either.
Have to be a size 2.
Like, you don't have to be a size 2. You don't have to. But you don't have to sit there, like, because here's the thing. They're just. This is just a going out of your way attempt to get people to accept you for something because you need to be accepted for it. Like, that's it. Like, it's acceptance for the sake of needing acceptance. That's what I look at it as.
And it's a marketing ploy to take people that feel ostracized and make them feel more ostracized and to make money off of them because they think that you understand
them. To make them feel less ostracized and that you're a part of their team.
Yeah,
and
so, like, they buy your album, they get into your... It's a smart marketing ploy.
You're such a really good person, and she's just all about it. It's like, no, you just need to stop eating Twinkies. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you can't ever have a Twinkie. Mark Bland's got diabetes, ladies and gentlemen. I've got diabetes. They didn't say I couldn't ever have a Twinkie again. They just said instead of having a whole Twinkie, I can have a quarter of a Twinkie. Same thing goes for you. Instead of a half a box today, you can only do two.
You know, you can only do two today. This is awesome. You tried to show us a new artist who does have a catchy song, and we just started blasting her for obesity, and I've never even seen her.
Anyway, here
we
go.
What is she? What does she look like?
It doesn't matter anymore.
I'm going to see her. I'm going to see her.
Bobby, bring her up on her seat.
It's time for the five random things each week that Bobby brings to us. Bobby, what do you got?
Number show five. Me Chubby Chubs. Come on.
Number five, the amount of DNA that is the amount of DNA information in one single sperm is equivalent to 37.5 megabytes of information. That means that the amount transmitted in one climax for a male is 15,000 gigabytes.
You know, if that girl wrote a song about sperm, she'd basically be like, for the 3 million of you that didn't make it to the egg, just try again. It's going to be okay.
It's okay. It's all about the egg. All about the egg. You don't need that egg.
Well, also, every man produces enough man juice.
Ejaculate.
In 2 weeks to impregnate every fertile woman on the planet.
Can I ask you a question?
We need more of those fertile women to jump on that
If jump. I took a bunch of semen and then stuffed it into the port of my computer, will I get more information?
Yes.
Potentially. So my point is, how do they drive. Measure that?
I don't
how
know.
How did they figure that out?
I don't know.
Number four.
Facebook is the color blue only because Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is red-green colorblind.
Oh, okay.
Zuckerberg said, quote, blue is the richest color for me, and all I can see is blue.
Perfect. Makes sense. I get it.
You should write a song about it. Number three.
The state of Rhode Island is the smallest state in all 50 states of the United States, but it has the longest of the official names. It is actually the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
Oh, I did not know that. They have a little extra on there.
They do. It's like a subtitle. Or not a subtitle. Number two.
The most abused Social Security number ever in the United States history is 07805-1120. The reason for that is it has been used in fraud for over 40,000 people.
Wow.
It belonged to a woman named Hilda Witcher, who was a secretary at a wallet company. In 1938, Social Security cards were new. Hilda's boss put her a sample card in the wallet, and he happened to just leave Hilda's Social Security number on it.
I see.
All right.
So,
way to go, Hilda.
Number one. Google was originally called Backrub in 1996.
Did not know that.
When the idea was originally started, it wasn't until almost a full year later that the name was changed to Google.
You know, what's really funny about Google is the fact that, think about that name Google. It's kind of unique. It's weird. Obviously, one with 100 zeros behind it. That's what Google means. But I think what's so weird is that it's become literally iconic. Like the word Google has become like that level of information in our society.
You said it's one with 100 zeros behind it?
Yes.
I didn't know that's where it came from.
Yeah, that's what a Google is. It's a mathematical term.
Wow.
I didn't know that either, but I'm pretending like I do.
That's all right. No, it's weird because like even in, was it Hot Tub Time Machine, Lugal? Yeah. He called it Lugal.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to call this thing Lugal. Wait, if you could go back in time and you could be the person, like knowing what you know now and the things that have existed. Real quick question before we get out of here because we only got a minute left. What would you go back in time and be the inventor of?
I would go back in time and invent the iPhone.
You would invent the iPhone. What about you?
I would go back in time and make the famous Disney movie Fantasia, and I would call it Dantasia.
Oh, I see. I would go back into time, and I think that I would create the first record label. That's what I would do.
Okay.
But you know we would upset the time continuum.
Of course,
space time continuum.
There's nothing that we can do about it.
We would have three movies that would have to be made after that.
Good point.
Good call.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, go to muni.org. The Hello Dolly musical is coming to the Muni here in St. Louis, Missouri. For all of you out there who listen to the show in other cities, I do apologize. But if you get a chance, go to muni.org or come to theqnow.com. We're giving away tickets to see Hello Dolly here in just a couple of weeks. So make sure you get over there to check out the contest. It's time for us to get out of here on the Q. We do have overtime coming up, so stick around because That's when things get really, really fun for all of us. Plus, I got some letters for the listeners. Don't forget to check out RazorSharpDigital.com for all your SEM and SEO digital marketing. They handle a lot for us here at The Q, and we're excited to have them on board. Thanks to Josh Rubner for talking with us. If you get a chance, search him out there on the Googles and find out more about Israeli and Palestinian relationships, because those are great things. We're also giving away we gave away those WrestleFex tickets. Congratulations to the winner of those. If you have any friends or family that might enjoy the show, spread the word and let them know about us in theqnow.com. That's our website where you can find us, as well as thanks to 1380TheX and 1420WINI every single week. Anything real quick before we get out of here?
Make sure you guys go and check out the Valley Park Funny Bone. They run shows every weekend, and they also have a really cool local open mic night on Wednesday nights. A lot of funny guys there.
Stay positive. Enjoy St. Louis. Love you guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for me, Mark Bland. We will see you guys on The Q next time. Fresh as I'm is. That's right. That's right.
When I was eight, I was rhyming that backyard game playing. Watching Snoop anxiously awaiting for my
chance, man.
Hiding cocky with it, cause I know that I am, man.
I'm coming at it like American Bandstand. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Overtime, Mark Bland, as well as our boy Dan Walsh and producer Bobby.
We call him Dan Shizzle.
Dan Wizzle.
Dantasia.
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 That's his movie. That's his movie that he created.
I might just, if I do a porno, I'm going to call it Dantasia.
You're going to do the Danaconda in Dantasia?
And there's going to be a money shot where I power a computer up to like 400 gigabytes or whatever.
A money shot where you power a computer up?
Whatever the fuck you guys
called
it before. Yeah.
That's funny.
It has never been done in a porno before.
What is it? 400 gigawatts?
4,000 gigawatts.
Is that what makes time travel possible?
That's right.
Yes.
In the flux capacitor?
He just didn't know. It was supposed to say gigawatts in the script, but he just didn't know how to pronounce it correctly.
So he just made up his own.
Christopher Lloyd just said, oh yeah, gigawatts.
Hey, you know what? That's when the best shit happens.
It is.
It is.
Let's be honest. Anything with Christopher Lloyd is the best shit.
Good call.
There's a simple formula to figure out what you should be doing with your life. You guys ready for this one?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to throw this out there.
Finally, the answer.
Maybe you don't know what you should be doing with your life, Dan Walsh.
I probably don't.
You should be starring in Dantasia with the Danaconda.
I think I have some pretty good direction.
But you know what you're doing right now ain't it.
Yeah.
Okay. A career counselor named Richard Leiter came up with a simple formula to figure out what you should be doing with your life. The formula is G plus P plus V. G stands for gifts, P stands for passions, V stands for values.
Vagina.
First, figure out your gifts. Those are things you're good at. So I'm good at talking, and that can include anything. You could be gifted at motivating people, solving puzzles, running long distances, whatever. So I'm good at talking, right? That's what I excel at the best.
Okay.
Then figure out your passions. Those are things you really care about. They could be social issues, like feeding the homeless, personal passions like making people laugh, or even the passion to make a ton of money. Well, I want to make a ton of money, and I want to entertain people, and I want to inform them, and I want to influence them. Those are my passions in life. Those are the things I enjoy doing.
Okay.
So I want to use my mouth to entertain and... it's good. Finally,
holy shit, we figured it out.
Finally,
you're in the wrong industry, dude.
Hey, Sam, Mark wants to audition for a video.
Let's call Sam.
Finally, you have to figure out your values. Those are things you need to have in your life to make you happy. Do you want to be home for dinner with your family overnight? Of course I do. Do you hate waking up early? Of course I do. So I think being a radio production, a radio announcer, or a host is what I should be doing with my life. And unfortunately, we can't get paid doing that either.
That's okay, though.
It's not okay. So now, look up your gifts and your passions and values. Start brainstorming careers that fit with your answers under each one. When you find a career that fits all three, that's the potential career for you. I feel that I found it.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you found yours?
Yes.
Do you think it's radio? Do you think it's entertaining people
locally? I think it's entertaining, but I think that I like have a twofold. Does that make sense?
You really believe you're Jerry Blackwell?
No.
Maybe? Well,
potentially. No. I definitely think that I should be entertaining people and doing this for a living, but I also think that I should be an educator.
Okay.
I do feel that I am very good at teaching people things, and I've been very successful doing that, so I feel that I should be an educator as well.
Fair enough. Dan Walsh, do you feel like you've found your fit in life? Yeah. What is it?
I think it's stand-up comedy.
You think stand-up is where it's at for you?
Because I like to tell stories.
Or is it that you just want a sitcom?
Eventually, I mean, I would eventually take one, but...
No, not take one. You want one.
Well, my main, like, honestly, my main, what I would love to do is to get paid to perform in front of people and talk to them and, like, make them laugh. That's what I want
to
do.
But welcome to being on the queue.
The perks of it would be sitcoms and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd do it in a second. I'd sell out.
I need you to make me a promise.
I'd do a musical. I'd be
sell out.
I would be in the big screen remake of Cabaret.
Would you steal Bobby's wife from him? Would you become a famous person stealer?
I need Dan to make
give her 20 minutes of Danaconda love.
I wouldn't steal Bobby's wife. That's horrible. Dan, I would never do that to him.
I saved your life.
Yeah.
So I need you to make a promise to
me. Good point. He did save your life.
When you get a sitcom, I just get to sit on the couch in the background.
Yeah, that's all we want. The only thing that we ask from the queue from you is that when you become the big star and you get the sitcom, okay? Yeah. We just want a small walk-on role where we say one word or two words and then we walk off. That's all we ask for. That's it.
I don't even want to talk.
No, I want to talk. I want to talk.
Bobby's will be Wikipedia. Okay. He's just going to randomly say that.
Wikipedia. Say Wikipedia, Bobby.
Wikipedia.
And then yours would be conservatives.
Conservatives.
And that's it.
That's
like,
it.
Like,
that's
guys, I'll be like, guys, what's going on? And you'll be like, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Conservatives. You know what? And that could become a running bit. Like every few shows you run into us in front of like the like gas station or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, what's up today? And I just say another random word. Bobby says another random word.
You guys would be known as the Wikipedia conservative guys.
We basically become Steve Dave is what we become.
Steve Dave. Yeah.
As long as I get a dollar at least for it.
Now, you didn't know if I get a sitcom, like first off, like I would be a nobody and they would not let me do shit.
Sure. Of course.
Like, you're fucking lucky you're here, dude. Like,
I have a friend who's a DGA director and he wouldn't do shit with me either, so there's nothing new for that either. All right, letters from the listeners.
Yeah.
Bobby, yes. I've got one for you today.
Yes,
specifically for you, Bobby. I heard your unhappiness with all the letters from the listeners being addressed to Mark and Dan, so this one is for you.
Yes.
I've been dating a woman long distance for the past 2 months. We're not exclusive yet, but we're getting closer. I stayed with her last weekend and we finally did the deed. But right before, she told me to grab a condom out of the box in her medicine cabinet. When I did, the box was open and there were quite a few missing packets. So I couldn't help but wonder about her. Is it good or bad that the woman I'm dating was prepared with a box of condoms? Should I read into it that there were a bunch missing? What do you think?
Well, in my opinion...
You're a whore. Well, she's a whore.
You could think that, but maybe. In my opinion, honestly, I think it's a kind of a good thing. Because she's
obviously wanting you to be a part of the box history.
Yes, but also she's not wanting to get pregnant, so that's a good thing for you, so you don't have to deal with that. But also, too, you know, we don't know how long that box has
Bobby,
been there.
You're probably not a condom guy, are you? You're a raw dogger, aren't you?
Well, I'm married.
Well, obviously.
Well, you're married now. I'm just saying, before actually, you were married.
He's got like 15 kids.
It's true.
42. Delivery
he's,
man.
He's got it.
No, I used a condom until I got married.
Did you really?
Until I proposed and then became engaged.
She put it on yourself? Or did you have her put it on for you?
Wow.
Just asking.
Depended on the night.
This is not a question that you haven't been asked by a medical professional.
Hold on. No, Dan, let me tell you a fucking story a medical professional told me.
Yeah.
You ready? You ready for this?
Sure.
So I go in because I have a hernia. Go in to get this hernia looked at. And then as I'm talking to the doctor, I'm like, you know, I would like to eventually, you know, get some of the extra skin that I have when I lose weight taken off. And he looks at me and goes, that's all fine. We can take care of that. But I just have a question. How'd you do it? And I said, excuse me, what do you mean? And he goes, how'd you get your wife pregnant? Like, can you see that down there? A fucking medical doctor asked me if I could see my fucking dick. Weird. I didn't know what to do.
Very professional.
Is it okay if I call you mine?
Go ahead, keep talking.
No, I just didn't know what to do.
So did you answer him?
I just looked at him and said, it's when my dick gets hard, I fuck her.
I mean, you were like really rude about it?
Yeah, I didn't know what
to say. I mean, he was just being
a
nice guy.
No, that's fucking ignorant.
He was just gesturing about your overweight.
Let's ask you a serious question.
Yeah.
Between me and you, do you take being overweight personal when people say something about it?
In some instances. Honestly, the part of the reason that I am big is for a long period of time, I just didn't take care of myself.
Fair enough.
I was more worried about
that. I remember you when I first met you in 2007. You were still relatively thinned out. Like, yeah. You were more like me. You were just heavy set. You were a bigger dude. But you weren't... Like, I wouldn't say that you were nowhere near the weight you are now.
Right. I eventually, became more worried about taking care of other people, and I became less worried about my health. So at that
started going to the radio station with a box of pepperoni pizza from Pizza Hut sitting in your passenger seat
while I cried myself.
That's how it starts.
No,
that's
how it starts.
Actually, I can tell you that right.
Actually, you know, I don't blame them for this, but going back to when I worked for Stephen DC, a doctor actually told me that one of the main reasons why I couldn't lose weight, because that's really when I started to gain weight,
because you couldn't get sleep,
was because I didn't get enough sleep because I was getting up so early to do the show.
Yep, that is a part of it. You got to have everybody's system. Like, as much as we're all different, there are certain things that are necessary for every human being. Sleep is very important. The right amount of oxygen to your system. So being able to breathe properly, very important. You know what I'm saying?
And I got into a big argument the other day with my mom because, you know, my mom's not trying to be ignorant, but she wants her son to be healthy, and she wants
she
you
remembers
know,
you when you were thinner too. Like, yeah. That's a different time period in life, but and obviously mom, you want
to
be there too.
My mom also used to weigh 520 pounds.
Wow.
My mom had gastric bypass and is now like 140 pounds.
Right.
So she's not saying, you know, to be ignorant, you know, hey, you're a fat ass and all this other stuff. What she's saying is,
are you going to get gastric?
No. And here's why. For two reasons. A friend of mine actually lost his mom to gastric.
Okay.
Even though my mom had a successful attempt at gastric, a friend of mine lost his mother to gastric. 60% of people that have gastric have complications. Of those 60%, 32% of those people pass away.
Wow.
Due to complications from gastric bypass.
That's interesting.
As well as I have a huge phobia of death. That's why I am keep putting off the surgery.
It's a pretty good phobia to have.
Yeah.
It's a pretty
but that's why I keep
it's called thanatophobia.
That's why I keep putting off the surgery to get my hernia taken care of and everything like that, because I'm afraid that I'm going to be put under for anesthesia to have the surgery.
I'm never
going to come back.
Fair enough.
And I have my three kids, and it freaks me out every day.
No, I understand that completely.
So. See, gastric, I would completely understand why you wouldn't want to do that. It makes complete sense. But you do know, like, with the hernia, that's pretty safe.
Yeah, you'll be fine with the hernia.
It's safe, but there's always that percentage. And that's what freaks me out.
But, Bobby, you get up and you leave your house every day, and you take a risk doing that.
I do.
Let's end on a good note.
Yes, sir.
I'm ending on a good note. I'm talking some motivation to Bobby. Bobby, you look at me in my eye when I talk to you.
Oh. Okay. He's being very serious with you right now. He's got a finger pointed out. You got to point. Listen, Bobby learned from working at the ballpark that you do not point with a finger.
You don't point
with your open hand.
Okay.
This is aggressive.
Bobby.
Yes. This is aggressive. This is welcoming.
Bobby.
Yes.
And you go get that fucking hernia removed, and you bring it in here, and we're going to name it.
Wow.
I don't know if that's positive, but I just really want to name a hernia.
That's so weird.
I'm sorry, go on with what you're saying. I just want to tell him I want to name a hernia.
All right, we're going
to
finish off on a very positive note here. Okay. My husband is doing something I consider stealing, but I want to know what you guys think. We like to enjoy nice dinners out a lot, and he has started fake proposing to me. The first time it was just to be funny, but then someone paid for our dinner. So now he keeps doing it because we get free dinners, desserts, champagne, and more. I'm worried because people have started taking pictures and videos, and I'm afraid we're going to get busted on Facebook or something. I've asked him to stop, but he says we're bringing people joy, and there's no harm in that. I think we're stealing in a way. What do you guys think? I think you're totally taking advantage of people and stealing, and I think your husband needs to be smacked in the face, or he needs to, like, well, he's your husband already, so you've already proposed. Like, this is, you're just stealing.
Yeah.
You're just a piece of crap stealing.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
If this is playing in the background every time, something's fucked up.
If they had someone run in with the stereo, and then they did this, and they did it every fucking time, dude. And then you have, like, a tuxedo on.
I mean, he does make a somewhat point. Like, let's be honest, you know.
Yeah, but does it really bring joy?
It does bring for a moment of, like, you're none the wiser, and you think that it's a great moment happening, so people get joyful about it.
You know what I would think if the guy proposed and I was right there? I'd be like, that poor bastard.
Well, you're one person. Like, the other 90%.
Poor bastard.
That's what the conservative 0.01% said.
I'd walk over to his table and I'd take his fucking food and I'd eat it myself.
Whoa.
He'd be like, you don't deserve this.
Wow. So mean.
And then I'd go to Bobby's house and I'd pick him up and I'd say, let's go get that hernia taken out. Right now.
All right.
No anesthesia.
I think just that you're, ibuprofen. I think you're stealing. Bobby, you think she's stealing? They're stealing?
Absolutely.
Dan, you think they're stealing?
I think they're stealing.
You're
yeah.
stealing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. Just let that roll, baby. That's beautiful music right there.
We're just going to exit on out.
We're just going to exit on out. That's The Q. Check us out at theq.com. For myself,
Dan, the Polar Vortex, Love Making Machine Walsh.
Producer Bobby, I cherish you.
And my name is Mark Bland. That's going to do it for us here on The Q this week. We will see you guys next time on the show.
Look at some sweet-ass jazz.